Brad, we're going to take up a topic that we've discussed in the past because I was just thinking, you know, as we head toward the holidays, you know, some people might be thinking that there's an easier way to get some money, and that could involve gambling, and that can be disastrous. You've got a great post on your website, Gambling, Many Sins Rolled Into One Activity. What do you mean by that statement?
Well, it's so interesting how complex this topic of gambling can be. And I was just looking through some of the biblical principles that we tie into this article. It's our view of God, our view of money, work, caring for the poor, loving our neighbors, and contentment. Those are just a few of the biblical principles that tie into this exact same thing. And if we get those things wrong, then we may view gambling wrong. And if we're talking to somebody else about gambling, do we realize how important that base knowledge of Scripture is in having that discussion? And the one thing I like about this article is that it really ties in everything we've been talking about all year long. And that's why it's so important to build that foundation on Scripture, have these biblical principles firm in our mind, so that then when these complex topics come up like this, we have the ammunition we need to be able to talk about them, to think through them, and just apply Scripture to our lives.
You know, as I was reading through the article, Brad, there are several things that jump out at me. I mean, the whole article is really an eye-opener. But I think, you know, you talk to some people, and there are people that I'm close to who would say, well, you know, the occasional outing to gamble just a little bit, it's not that big of a deal. But you point out it denies God's sovereignty. Explain that.
Yeah, Proverbs 22:2 tells us the rich and the poor have a common bond. The Lord is the maker of them all. Now, if we truly believe that, then we shouldn't be looking to try to change our circumstances apart from God. So if we realize that He's in control of all things, nothing happens apart from His will, then we should just look at how do we deal with those circumstances in the most godly way, in the most faithful way. And what gambling tempts us to do is to try to change the circumstances and do it apart from any biblical principles. And if we tie this back again to the biblical principles we've talked about, how does God tell us that we get our money? And how do we provide for our families? We do it through work. We don't do it through methods of chance or trying to do it quickly. That just goes against everything that God has shown us. So we're really denying our belief in His sovereignty when we try to gamble and get our money that way.
Well, I know you've said, too, that gambling takes advantage of the poor, and I'm not sure that most people would necessarily, you know, draw the line from gambling to taking advantage of the poor because they're thinking, well, I'm just investing my money, so what does that matter? I'm not taking money away from anybody. Explain what you mean by that.
Yeah, so if you do some deep studies into gambling, the common bond continues to go back into how they're enticing the poor to play to change their circumstances. And studies have even shown that a high percentage of low-income individuals believe that buying a lottery ticket is their best chance to improve their financial stability. And what they're doing is they're playing a game where we know the house will always win in the end. Because any kind of gambling, we look at statistics, the house is going to win. And they're not worried about the person that comes out ahead in any given day because they know that those people will continue to come back or other people will continue to come, and ultimately they're going to make their money in the end because the odds are stacked in their favor. So when the poor are being enticed in to play a game that is a losing proposition, it is just continuing to take advantage of them.
Well, you know, something else that you've mentioned too, which I think is really interesting, because I know we will all in our Christian walk go through times where we may not feel content. Now, we know what God's Word says about contentment, but when you're feeling discontent, that seems to just upend everything, and nothing goes right when this is what we're focused on, because you also say gambling feeds materialism, which I can understand, but talk about the discontentment part of that.
Yeah, so let me just share Hebrews 13:5 that says, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. It sounds easy, but when we're surrounded constantly by advertisements and all these what-if scenarios, oh, you could have this or you could have that, it continues to feed in this thought of, you know what, I'm not content with what I have because I wish I had that. And soon we start to covet and desire the lives of others and the situations that we find others in. And we start to place our identity in things, not in Christ. And our identity should absolutely be found in Christ and not in the material things of the world. When we try to find that happiness and joy in things, we're always going to be disappointed in the end.
You know, you also talk in this article, which, by the way, for those of you just tuning in, we're talking with financial planner Brad Graber. His website is investingintruth.com. You can learn more about all of his articles and posts by visiting the website. In fact, we'll let you plug the boot camp again, Brad, before we let you get off the phone this morning, people can know that they can really have a great plan to walk through as a year goes by and learn how to be good stewards. But something that really just kind of hit me in the heart reading through this article on gambling, you talk about how gambling violates the command to love our neighbor. And again, I think just at face value, that statement may not be something that we can connect how we're failing to love our neighbor if we're gambling. But I want you to share a little bit of what you meant by that, because really we're costing others something.
Yeah, so Scripture tells us to love our neighbor as ourself. And gambling, the winnings from gambling come from the losses of others. So right there, we're setting something in our favor by getting it on the backs of somebody else who is on the losing side of things. And that alone is violating the love of our neighbors. And just like we talked about earlier, typically those people are the poor. So we're actually taking money from the poor in order to get something for ourselves. And we would never say that that's okay to go take something from our neighbor who's in need and put it in our own pocket. And even if we're looking at it and saying, you know what, I'm just playing a game, no harm here, and, you know, maybe you're not ultimately winning even, so you can justify it that way, that I'm not actually winning or coming out in my favor. The problem is that if we're even playing the game, we're supporting the organizers who are profiting on our money and then using that to ensnare more people through the marketing, through the games they're developing, through all the different methods that they have to bring more of those poor people in and ultimately profit from them. So in the end, if you look at what's actually happening, whether you're winning or losing, there's a very profitable industry that's built on the backs of the poor. And that's not loving our neighbor.
Well, Brad, what about charitable gambling, though? Because, again, you look at that and you would have people say, but this is for a good cause, so I don't mind. I look at this as an investment. But really, you're still gambling. You're throwing money in order to get something back.
Yeah, and I see people rationalize that one a lot because they feel like, oh, well, you know, in the end, it went to a good cause. But we still see a lot of the same things. We see greed being thrown out there. So they're marketing and appealing to greed. And it's also the people they're most enticed to play that are the poor, and they're hoping to come out on the winning side, and they're not putting their money in there in order to support the charity. The people that wanted to do that and wanted to support that charity would just write a check or drop money into an offering plate or, you know, wherever they're supporting. They would just give the money directly. They wouldn't go through this process of playing a game where they might actually get something back. And that just shows, and even the dollar amounts that are raised in these things show how much greed and materialism and the poor being enticed in, how much that is actually playing into those. Because if they were just asking for money, the dollar amounts would not come like they come in those cases where gambling is incorporated with the fundraising.
You know, there is so much more to this article than what we have time to share with all of you listening right now. And I want to encourage you to check it out on Brad's website, investingintruth.com. You'll find it, I think it's month 11, correct, Brad, in the boot camp series, or you can...
That's right, and I pasted it on the front page.
Oh,
today,
great.
So they'll find it there.
Great. It's titled Gambling, Many Sins Rolled into One Activity, and also there's a list of differences between the two activities when it comes to investing versus gambling, and I think this will be a eye-opener for many of you. I hope, ultimately, in the long run, a blessing for you as you bring things in alignment with God's Word and how we should handle all that we've been given. But Brad, before I let you get off the phone real quick, give us a plug about the boot camp series, because that is full of great information and we can go through that at our own pace pretty much.
Yeah, so at the top of my homepage, you'll find a link for financial boot camp, and that's just a logical progression. So you said we're in month 11, and I said at the beginning how we tie so many foundational biblical principles into wrestling with such a complex situation. So if you go into financial boot camp and just start at the very beginning, start with lesson one. I typically have about four articles in each lesson, and building in a progressive way what Scripture teaches about money. So by the time we get to month 10, month 11, and we're wrestling with investing, gambling, insurance, taxes, all these more complex issues, we have a good firm foundation on what Scripture says, who God is, what he says about money, work, all these things, so that we can process and apply Scripture to our lives in ways where if we don't have that foundation, we really don't have the way to be able to process necessarily how Scripture applies to those aspects of our life.
So you can check it out. Take a look. InvestingInTruth.com is the website. Brad Graber, our financial planner. It's good to have you back and connect with you again, Brad.
Great being here, Kelly. Thanks.